The gospel reading today is our Lord asks his apostles who people say that he is. It's rather astounding to hear what it is that people were saying, because again, these are Jewish people who are saying this. Some say that you're John the Baptist, others Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. The Jewish people did not believe in reincarnation. They don't believe that somebody is simply going to come back from the dead and become somebody else. And yet the fact that they're thinking that he is somebody else is really pretty astounding. Especially even if you put it into the context of the fact that they're saying, well, maybe you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah. It's like, so they're recognizing that God has been sending prophets into the world, and yet they don't recognize that he's even a prophet in his own right. They think that he's somebody else. They didn't say that, oh, Jeremiah is Isaiah, or John the Baptist is Hosea or whatever. No, they didn't say any of that. They believe these guys are who they are. And yet when it comes to our blessed Lord, well, he's somebody else. What a convenient way of being able to skirt the truth, because they're forced to look at that question. They knew, obviously, what the situation was. Anybody who would have remembered and been paying attention would have remembered what happened at the time of his birth. If news of John the Baptist spread all over the hill country and people asked the question, what will this child be? What do you think happened when Jesus was born? Oh, the three wise men showed up and nobody really noticed. It's like, no, they all noticed and they were all troubled by it. And yet they all tried to bury it. And 33 years later, or 30 years later, when he starts his public ministry and he starts preaching and he's working miracles and so on, people notice that too. And they talk. Word got around. And rather than looking at things and saying, well, look, the rabbis have shown us that in the Old Testament there are these specific passages regarding the Messiah, and he checks every one of the boxes. No. Instead of that, we're going to say he's just the reincarnation of somebody previously. No, there is no such thing as reincarnation. Now you could say, but wasn't John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah? Yeah, he was. But he wasn't the historical person of Elijah. He wasn't the reincarnation of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah was passed on, and John the Baptist participated in that, just as Elisha had done previously. But he's not the historical person that's somehow being reincarnated. And our Lord obviously isn't somebody from the past who is being reincarnated now. And so that comes down then to us as we look at that, and we've certainly talked about it before, but in this context, another good thing for us to look at. We know the truth of who he is, and we acknowledge the truth of who he is. I'm sure if I went and asked each one of you individually, who is Jesus? Is he really the Son of God? Is he the second person of the Trinity? Is he born of the Blessed Mother and conceived of the Holy Spirit? And then you'd all say yes, absolutely. So now the question is, how much of that do we bury? Because it's inconvenient to us. 2,000 years ago, they buried it all because they didn't want to have to deal with it. We just bury it because we don't want to change our lives. Because we don't want to really embrace this and say, if he's the Son of God, then this means something for me. It's not just an objective statement of who he is. It becomes a subjective statement. When St. Peter can acknowledge who Jesus is, the Lord says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Heavenly Father. And so it is for you and me. Yeah, we've all been taught and we've learned the catechism. Your parents taught you, and your teachers have taught you. But if you believe, it's because of the grace of God. It's not simply because your parents taught you. They did what they were supposed to do. They taught you the truth. But for you individually, subjectively, to believe that truth, that requires something more. And if God has given you the grace to believe, then what follows? And we know, for instance, with St. Peter, the grace was there, and the Lord even pointed it out. And what's the next thing that happens? Jesus tells them that he's going to have to suffer and be put to death. And he, oh no, this cannot happen to you. It's like, what happened to the rest of the passages from the Old Testament about the Messiah? What about all the suffering that he's going to have to do? No, we don't want to deal with that. Guess what? You're baptized into Jesus Christ. You're a member of the Lord. Now we can play the Protestant game and said, oh, he did all the suffering for us so we don't have to. Right, what a bunch of nonsense. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But the Bible Christians somehow have found that. I don't know where, but it's not there. But the reality is, you're a member of the Lord. You are to continue his life, which is going to be suffering, as well as all the graces and all the other things. We heard in the first reading that we are called by God to the glory of heaven. Only after we have suffered for a little while, St. Peter said. Doesn't sound like St. Peter saying, Jesus did it all, you don't have to. Isn't it nice you're baptized into Jesus, the resurrection, but not the crucifixion? It's like, no. If he didn't rise from the dead, yeah, we're not saved. But you know what? If he wasn't crucified, we're not saved. He's the Christ because he suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. And you are baptized into Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, which means the suffering, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And you're called to his glory as well. But remember, his glory on earth is on the cross. His glory in heaven is at the right hand of the Father. You are called to share in his glory in heaven. That means you have to share in his glory on earth first. That's why St. Peter says we have to suffer for a while. So you've been given this grace. And yet when it comes to that, we tend to go, let me bury that. I know that he suffered, and I'm grateful for that, but when it comes to me, no, I don't want to do that. It's not an option. If we are going to continue to live the life of Christ, it's to continue the fullness of that. We have to be willing to embrace the cross. You see, if we're going to say, you are the Son of God, you are the Christ, and I'm incorporated into you through baptism, that says something about me. Yeah, it says we're a son or a daughter of God. It says we share in the divine life, and it says that we share in the divine nature. But it means we're a member of the very person of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we share in everything that is his. If we're going to share in his inheritance, then we're going to share in everything that was necessary to achieve that inheritance. That's the dignity and the blessing that is given to us. We can't bury that. We can't hide it away. We can't find cute little ways of trying to avoid it. Now we need to be able to recognize that if we are going to profess this, that is a grace from God. And to live it is also a grace from God. So don't accept one and reject the other, because it's a package deal. If we're going to say something objective about our Blessed Lord, then we're saying something subjective about our own self. And that is a great blessing, a great gift. Because what we are going to say about ourselves by acknowledging who he is exactly what he is saying about us. So this isn't us trying to be arrogant or something. It's what he himself has told us. Now it's for us to accept it. The Jewish people couldn't accept this. They tried to bury it. They tried to find heretical ways, interestingly, to be able to skirt around it. We have trouble accepting the same truths as it applies to us, not as it applies to him, because somehow we think that, well, that was 2,000 years ago, so that's all done and said, you know, it's over with. Nope, it continues on. We were just at Mass. The sacrifice of our Blessed Lord continues. It isn't offered again, it continues. So does his suffering. So does everything else that is part of his life. We hear his preaching, we see his work, all the things that are there. He hasn't abandoned us, he remains with us. The question is, do we remain with him? So that's what we really want to look at. Are we finding ways of tap dancing around the truth? Acknowledging it on one hand, not accepting it as it applies to us on the other. So, who is he? Who do you say that he is? And understand, if you are going to speak the truth of that question, that it has to be the whole truth. Not just about him as the historical person, but the whole person of Christ. Physical and mystical, and you are a member of the mystical person of Christ. So what you are going to say about him is going to say something very profound about you. And when you can profess that, embrace it, and live it, then you become the person that God is calling you to be. You become the one, as St. Francis would say, the hands and the feet and the mouth of Christ. You continue the life of Christ. What a gift. What an immense dignity. So maybe it's not so much of just simply looking and saying, who do people say that Jesus is? Who do you say in Jesus Christ that you are?